Hello, everyone, and welcome to Coaches on the Couch. I'm Louise.
And I'm Rachel.
And today we have a totally empty couch. It's the end of series four. So this is Rachel's and my opportunity to add some reflections to what you've heard already in the previous episodes and do our wrap up for the year, in fact, because it's coming up to Christmas.
Woohoo!
It's been a really rich set of conversations, and we think there were a few themes which ran through them, which we'd like to pick up on today. And one of those was the changing nature of leadership, as is quite common with our podcast series. Also, this time, it was the impact of changing company structures as we get more organisations becoming EOTs or even B Corps, and role models and anti-role models. And finally, the use of metaphor, which is something we talk about quite a lot in coaching.
We do, definitely. And we'll come back to all of those as we sort of go through. And we're going to do a sort of journey through, I suppose, the seven episodes that we've done in the series. So we kicked off with Pooja Agrawal, who became CEO of Public Practice earlier on in the year. And she's also co-founder of Sound Advice. And her pod was all about disruption, I guess, and strategic change. And Pooja is incredibly strategic. I mean, it really struck me the depth of thought and strategy that goes into the work that she's done. And she put that down to three points, I think. There was this overriding purpose and clarity of purpose to everything she does. The owning of your own strategy. So she'd really considered the systems that she was trying to disrupt and had come up with a strategy to create the change she was looking to make. And then she described herself as an outsider. So in terms of the discipline, I think she's an architect by background and also a planner and sitting on that boundary. Also, she grew up outside the UK. And included that in this ability to see things with a fresh perspective. So interesting episode.
Yeah, I really liked what she said about the importance of being an outsider to push the boundaries. It's almost like you have to recognize where the boundaries are in order to push them and to be, as you said, constructive and strategic.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So in episode two, we spoke to David West and Christoph Egre of Studio Egre West. And my main memory of that conversation is how joyful it was.
Indeed.
I had a really good laugh, and I've actually got a good screenshot of us all laughing and then falling around, which I may share on socials. And the reason why we wanted to talk to David and Christoph was because we were curious about their relationship, how it's endured. They're quite different characters, and we were curious about how it's endured, how they've worked together so successfully for such a long time, and how they have found a balance between each other with their respective skills and character types. And then it went on into being a really interesting discussion about what a difference that becoming an employee ownership trust has made to Studio Egre West, because of course the one of the things about having two quite strong founders is that other people may question what their place is within that relationship and that setup. And part of their answer, apart from never shouting at each other in the office, which I'm sure some people will find very hard to believe, but I know is true, is the different structures that support people to feel as though they can have a sense of ownership and a future within an organization. And that's something that became a bit of a theme as we went through and that we'll come back to.
Yeah, definitely. And the point that you just made then about never raising voices in the studio was huge, I think, because they went on to talk about the environment that created and people not being fearful and how important that was to the ability to be as creative as they are as a practice. And the other thing that dropped out or started to drop out there on reflection was the use of metaphor. They, Christoph and David, talked about their practice as a jazz band. And we talked a little bit about, you know, how one manages or leads a jazz band and what that means. But it also, that brings us or links quite nicely onto episode three, which was with Alex Ely of May. And he was celebrating his 20th year. Happy birthday again, Alex. And lots of metaphor in there where he was describing the change in his leadership style via use of metaphor. He used chess master and gardener as those two metaphors for how he started and what he sort of came onto.
And of course, with Christoph's metaphor, there was that sense of, you know, to some people, me sometimes, some jazz can sound a little bit discordant, as though everybody's doing their own thing. But actually, what they're doing is they're kind of riffing off each other, and they show a complete respect for each other's strengths and skills and the instrument that's being played. So it is a collection of people who are playing and achieving something together, but with sufficient space to do their own thing. And of course, that's important because it's about the ability to lead a diverse team. And the leadership of a jazz band is something leaders will need to improve on, perhaps not literally. And again, with Alex, you know, being a gardener rather than a chess master, it's about that enabling, isn't it? It's about that enabling and the creating an environment in which people can prosper and grow, just to take the gardening metaphor a bit further.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. And it takes a lot of confidence, I think, for a leader to do that, to step back almost and think beyond themselves. So it's that collective and think about the other people that they're within the organization. I was going to say bringing along with them, but I'm not sure that's actually the phrase that's appropriate. I think it's creating a purpose, as we were saying before, and then everybody collectively doing what they need to do in the way that they do it best to reach that goal or purpose.
I was thinking of another metaphor then that wasn't mentioned by, well, fish came up as a metaphor,
yes,
one of our later guests, but that, yes, not that bringing along with you, because that sounds a bit like kind of fishermen casting a net and
exactly
kind of pulling people along.
That's right.
And it's not like that at all.
No.
Which brings us neatly to metaphor, because as coaches, we're trained to be very attuned to how people use metaphor. And if we're working with somebody, we will quite often pick up and question and show curiosity about any metaphor that they choose to use, because it tells us a lot about the person. And we often use listening exercises in coaching workshops, and we invite people to be more conscious of what's happening below the surface of any conversation they may be having. So while they're trying to show that they're actively listening, we encourage them to think of it a bit like an iceberg. And we talk about the things that you can see above the surface, like facial expression, the words that people are saying, and you may even hear metaphor. But below the line, or water, as it's an iceberg, there's a whole set of motivations and beliefs and values. And these things are really important clues to the person that you're having that conversation with. And by really practicing that deeper listening, you can pick up on those things about them that they think are really important, and that can be a really powerful tool for leadership.
Yeah, I think that's right. I had a lovely example of this the other day. Well, maybe not in quite a good way, but I was coaching somebody the other day, and they were describing themselves as a sort of coaching style leader, and we use those six styles of Goleman's quite a lot, and coaching is one of them. And he was describing himself as a coaching leader, but his metaphors were all military. I was thinking, hold on a moment. So I think it gives, people can be saying one thing, but you're giving, you know, quite a lot away about what's sitting in those, you know, bias and beliefs, as you say, that sit below below the water.
Yeah, that's really interesting, that sort of linking the coaching style of leadership with military metaphors. Yeah, because it's, I guess, what he was thinking of was more about teams and, you know, leading and managing teams, which has for many people sort of military or team sport references.
Maybe. And I guess that brings us on to episode 4.
Oh yeah,
that's right. Yeah, so with Pete Swift and Naomi Burl from Landscape Architects Planet IE, who are a B Corp. Well, we talked a little bit about the process, but obviously not in depth around that. but we talked more about the impact that that has on their way of being and the way it's created that purpose, you know, B Corps all being about planet and people over profit, or as well as profit. So creating that purpose that people are working towards that aligns the people within the organization behind that purpose.
Became clear talking to Pete and to Naomi that that it's not an end goal, that once you have that status, it's a real sort of ongoing journey. Yes. And you are continuously having to practice the basic concepts and principles of B Corp-ness, if there is such a word. You can't just sort of sit back and think, oh, we've done it now. And that it's the process of having to keep practicing that actually brings each individual involved in that a sense of ownership.
Yes.
And, you know, it makes me think with EOT and with B Corp and with these, you know, these kind of new structures of ownership, that actually they are about less literal and more emotional ownership over an organization's purpose. And that's what people want, isn't it?
Yeah, which is much stronger, isn't it? As a, you know, given what we know about motivation and how people are motivated, that should be much stronger, that emotional connection back to an organization rather than a title.
And in a world where we talk of talent wars and the great resignation, or however it's been called, and the fact that people don't quite often don't see their career as being a linear process, I can only see it becoming more important, that organizations and leaders, you know, really exercise quite a lot of scrutiny and care to see how they can inventively get the buy-in, emotional buy-in from the people that work for them.
That there's something we're going to do in the new year, which I think we'll touch on that, isn't it, around hybrid working and where there's, I suppose, where there's less connection, because hybrid working has meant that people are out of the office for more of their time. It's more difficult almost to create that emotional connection. So finding new ways and structure might be one of those. And perhaps there are others which we can explore next year.
And then episode 5, we were joined by Neil Chaisor of the London School of Architecture, the new CEO there. He took over from Will Hunter back in the summer. And our obvious topic of conversation there was about what it's like to take over from a founder, because that can be for many quite a daunting prospect. But we also talked about being an advocacy organisation and representing a large group of people who perhaps don't have a voice. As we all know, the remit of the mission, or the mission of the London School of Architecture, is to widen access to architecture from groups that have been less well represented. It felt that it was something that Neil had taken on as a real responsibility, was not to a B Corp or to any particular structure, but to this group of people that were outside of his organization as an advocate for them and actively supporting them. So that's all about purpose again, I guess, isn't it?
Right, that's right. Yeah. The other thing there, I suppose, is this leadership of a cause or a movement, which is similar to what Neil's doing, but sort of takes you back to Pooja again. And also, I remember when we were speaking with Pooja, it struck me that, you know, she's such a strong leader of various movements and initiatives. Yet when we were talking about leadership, the conversation reverted back to how she was re-entering a role, which meant she was leading a team and leading people. And so many people don't seem to equate that leading a movement with leadership. And it is so just so important. And the same skills are so important as when, because you're still trying to move people, aren't you? Motivate people and change people's thinking.
And then we come on to what I call the busy podcasts, because we had 8 people from 4 different organisations over 2 podcasts. But they were 2 really good discussions. So in part 1, we had 4 leaders of organisations. We had David Gabe of Core 5, Rachel Bell from Stride Treglown, Justin Nichols of Fathom, and Sophie Thompson of LDA. And they were all quite different leaders in quite different organisations. So we had two employee ownership trusts in there, one founder-led organization, and one company, Core Five, which has 20 partners at the helm, which brings its own challenges. So we had a discussion around how to make leadership a more attractive proposition, partly because you and I, Rachel, have become aware that we were coaching people who were saying, I don't know that I want to do that. It requires ridiculously long hours, huge amounts of responsibility. I'm not sure that I see that person as somebody whose work-life balance is completely there, or that I aspire to have that position.
Yes.
So it was we had a good conversation, didn't we?
It was great. Yeah. And just building on that, one of the big things that came through was the anti-role models that certainly Rachel and Sophie talked about a lot on the pod. So seeing the way that particularly other women were leading within organizations and trying to carve out a completely different way of doing it, almost reaching a point where they decided that wasn't for them and therefore trying a different way and getting to their current positions in their way with their style, and the importance therefore of them now being a role model for others within an organization, so modeling a different way. And obviously Justin contacted us after the pod and talked about the importance, or the lack in the past, of role models for introvert people who identify as introverts who want to maybe go into leadership positions, but because the old-fashioned view was that it was only for the charismatic introvert, extrovert rather, that it wasn't for them. And the importance of now having role models who, very successful leaders who are more introvert in nature.
Yeah, and Justin is clearly one of them who was actually driven to found his own practice because he wanted to do his own kind of work and not because he wanted to become a leader necessarily.
Yeah.
It was just something, was a kind of byproduct of wanting and needing to do things his own way, which is quite unlike, we should mention Core Five, because we're delivering a big step up program at Core Five with all 20 of the company's partners. And it's a relatively young organization. I think it's 10 years.
Yes.
And that has achieved and enjoyed really rapid growth, yes, which brings with it its own challenges. And David Gabe talked, I thought, really well about how one of the biggest challenges of that rapid growth had been actually managing it in terms of people. Mm. And also, I think with 20 partners around the table, some people must struggle to see, that's quite a crowded table, and some people might struggle to see their place around it. But David certainly seemed very sure of his own contribution and of the need to develop the people underneath him so that the next year was upcoming.
Yes. The other thing that he spoke on really strongly, which I thought was really interesting, was the availability of information now. So for younger people within organisations who are sharing information very widely on social media, people look around them and they can see so many more options than maybe 20 years ago, when people just used to look up the, in a very linear way, up the ladder in their own organizations. And I think David described it as confusion, but clearly it contributes to the current talk around the big resignation and those sorts of things.
Yeah. So then the next podcast in the series, and the second one of that duet, perhaps we should call them, of podcasts, was with four younger leaders within the same organisations.
Yes.
Or not just younger, but who were not quite so far on in their careers. And we did actually, they were chosen by the leaders of those organisations to take part. So we needed to bear that in mind. But we had a really interesting conversation with them, and we did tackle some pretty thorny topics around generational divides and tropes. And it was quite clear that they certainly felt that those tropes were less than helpful, and that they felt very strongly that leadership should be very well, should be acutely aware of the contribution that people at all levels of the organisation can make, and of all ages.
Yes.
Because there is, I mean, we did in that podcast try to get a conversation going about reverse mentoring, and it did seem like there wasn't a whole lot of that going on.
It did. Yeah, it's such a shame, isn't it? There's so much to learn from each other. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just to name those people that we spoke with: Natalie Corris of Core 5, Tom McCreesh of LDA Design, Tom Bulmer of Fathom Architects, and Connie Ivanova of Stride Chaglown. Actually, Connie had a nice metaphor herself, didn't she, about fishes, leaders needing to swim alongside people, which I thought was quite a nice metaphor.
Yeah, back to metaphor. And strangely, I don't know, I think I've mentioned this before, I find that when I'm coaching people, it's people who haven't learned English as a first language who sometimes use the richest metaphors. It's almost as though, perhaps their first language is very rich in metaphor, and they're just kind of translating it across, but perhaps it's because they have a different perspective on the richness of English. Anyway, that's kind of side observation. But I find that interesting, and Connie was certainly one of those people.
Yeah. Well, I think architects generally are good at metaphor, aren't they? And I think it's the need to convey meaning in a way that connects with people. To take something that's quite complex, which, you know, sometimes an architectural design, I suppose, can be, can't it? And get that across to people in a much richer way, which metaphor can do.
Mm. So what else did we cover in that one? We talked about that Stephen Covey quote, yeah. Leadership is a choice, not a position. And I think where we were coming from that, with that, was this thing about leadership happening at all levels of an organization. It's not just the title that the person at the top of the organization holds. You can choose to influence, and we quite often talk about influence when we're coaching. It's, you know, it's kind of, where can you exercise influence? Where can you have more influence? And it ties in with visibility, both internally and external to an organization. So it's the ability to influence from any point throughout your career within an organization, and indeed outside of it. So you don't have to wait until you've got the job title. It's an activity, and you can start it at any time. And we see that happening quite a lot in the practices that we work with, where we have people who are developing specialisms such as sustainability.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so we need to wrap up. Really rich series, 7 episodes, been really enjoyable, really looking forward to next year, to series 5. And in the meantime, I think we'd encourage people to consider their own leadership metaphors. It's something we've talked a lot about in this reflections episode. One of the other themes we didn't mention at the start was the shift from individual leadership across to this collective endeavour. You know, Alex described that in the context of his own practice and his own leadership style, but also it seems to be a general shift which is being supported by these new structures such as employee ownership trust.
Yeah, it's that kind of, what got us here isn't going to get us there, that there's definitely an evolution towards that more collective experience and sense of ownership, and that, quite frankly, is in line with the times, isn't it? Yes. And also the constant readjustment that entails, that it's not something that is going to find an easy balance. You're constantly going to have to adjust things to make sure that it works as effectively as possible.
Indeed.
A bit like where we are with hybrid working.
Absolutely.
Hybrid working. And we've been talking to groups that we coach about asking them to reflect themselves on the last year or more, considering what's gone well and what still needs to be adjusted, not so much during when we're all in total lockdown situations, but when some of us are back, some of us aren't, and all the rest of it. So, which seems to be sort of becoming where we are at the moment, and I'm doing a balance with my hands. But we are going to constantly need to look at what's working, what's not working, and what further adjustments still need to be made to improve the way that hybrid works in our sector.
Yeah, definitely. So all that remains to do is to thank all of our guests, our listeners, and indeed our clients for joining and supporting us over the year, and wish everyone all the best for the festive season. Certainly looking forward to it myself. And we'll be back for series 5 in the new year, when we'll also be returning for the second of our Made Visible events. So look out for that in your inboxes soon.
And very finally, still buy a copy of our book, Learning from Lockdown. If you look at our website, which is www.stepuplondon.com, you'll find it there, plus links to all the podcasts that we've recorded over the last 18 months or so.
Indeed. Thanks very much, everyone.
Thanks a lot. Happy Christmas. Bye.
Bye.